Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. Daniel Garcia shines in his hometown. Zack Sabre Jr. and Kyle O'Reilly tore it down. And Swerve says, steal my title once, shame on me, but steal my title twice, shame on you. Before we get into all of that, though, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by George Hermosa and Jimmy Corderis. Jimmy, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
This is a real, I need a referee's opinion here.
Okay.
On a wrestling program a few weeks back, we haven't chatted in a while, and I think I forgot to ask the last time. I believe it was NXT, but it's been a while.
Okay.
A competitor pulled someone's hair, and that took them down, and they used that to roll the person up and make the pin. Is it legal to use an illegal move to put someone down and then pin, or should they have stopped that pin? If that makes sense.
No, that is actually a very good question. The move was illegal to take them down. However, was the pin attempt legal? Was it a legal pin attempt?
It was, they were in a crucifix position. So the person was on the back, you know, in that crucifix, and they grabbed the hair and then rolled them down into the crucifix roll-up pin.
Oh, they grabbed by the hair to roll them into the crucifix? Did they release the hair while the pin was going on?
Once the pin was once they were in the pin, they released the hair.
Then you can count the pin. Because what you can warn them about the hair pull.
Right.
But it doesn't matter after that. That's like saying, you know, you have an ankle lock on somebody while they're in the ropes. You can't call the pin there or the submission while it's in the ropes. You pull them off the ropes, you break for a second, put it back on.
Interesting.
I don't know.
That's been like bothering me for a long time. I've been wanting to ask you. I think it was NXT. I want to say it was the last NXT pay-per-view or PLE that it was at, but I can't remember now. It's been a while, but it's in my, I keep saying to myself, remember to ask Jimmy that question. And now I remembered. So now I've got it. So that's what it's nice to have a line to the future Hall of Fame, Jimmy Corderis, by the way. Stephen Camp saying welcome back, by the way, too.
Oh, thank you, Stephen.
And we also have George Hermosa joining us again. Always someone who likes to spice things up a bit. Good to see you, George.
Not a single mention of his role in Dune Part 2. Very, very disappointing, Dave Bautista.
How recent is that book? Is that new?
2007.
Oh, well, yeah, he should have known at that point because there's a lot of pre-production.
Yeah, nothing about being Drax the Destroyer and Guardians, nothing about being in a James Bond movie, nothing about Dune. Very, very disappointing. It's like it's all about his wrestling career. Ugh, lame.
It does always kind of gripe me when someone who's clearly in the middle of their career writes a biography. I'm always like, come on, you know, you're going to do another one. I get there's money and I get why they do it. But like, I was like, come on, you're going to have a lot more stuff that comes up. Why are you doing the biography now?
I'm still waiting for Edge's second book. He wrote it like in 2004. It's been 20 years since he wrote his book. So,
wow.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to cover tonight, but before we do get into all the news and everything like that, I want to let everyone know that we are going to be coming to you live after AEW Forbidden Door. Jack Farmer and Flobo Boyce is with the news. Hey, I'm one of those people. That's what we're doing. After Forbidden Door on Sunday, we're going to be breaking down everything that happened. And at the end of this episode, at the end of this conversation, we're predicting what's going to happen at AEW Forbidden Door. So, fellas, I might be eating crow at the end of the show live here for everyone on the stream, or I might get to brag and gloat in front of Flobo because Flobo's not on this show, so he's not going to make any picks. So if I get one right, I can say I got more right than you did, Flobo. Stay tuned for all of that. We got a lot of folks already joining us. Please make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, and if you're in the chat, thanks for being there. If you're lurking, that's cool too. I'll shout you out in a little bit. We got news to get to though first. You know the format. We're starting, George, with some rumors that are flying about Ricky Starks. Rumors went wild on Reddit. And then Fightful did some reporting. They did some investigating. I'm not going to even mention all the rumors because a lot of them were deemed untrue. And I feel like if you just take rumors that are untrue and keep repeating them, people get crazy ideas in their head that they're true. So I'm just going to leave out the stuff that wasn't true. I'm going to talk about what Fightful said had some realism to it. per Fightful's reporting, Ricky Starks allegedly has been turning down some pitches to him from creative. They say pitches as there's multiple, but there's actually only one pitch that they confirmed was turned down, and that was for Ricky Starks to have a feud with then tag team partner Big Bill and split up the team. He said, apparently, this is what the report says, that he didn't believe that that was good for both of them and that they should amicably split. He did say that he did not like, again, according to the report, did not like being a part of a tag team in the first place. Jimmy, it sounds like we've all been wondering why Ricky Starks isn't on TV. It appears there was at least one pitch made to him that he wasn't happy about. You've worked in WWE. If someone turned down Triple H's creative pitch, what do you think Triple H would do in this situation?
Knowing Triple H the way I do, he would say, okay, you don't like that idea? Come back to me with something you think makes sense, and let's work something out. That's the different era they're in right now. Someone like a Triple H would do something like that. In the old regime, it may have been a little bit different. If you did, if you decided to say, hey, you know what, Vince, I don't really like that idea. Oh, yeah, how do you like sitting at home? Creative has nothing for you. Take that. But like, to your question, under the Triple H regime, I think he's a little more forgiving and saying, hey, I understand where you're coming from. Let me give you my side of the story, why I think this is going to work, but you tell me why you think it's not going to work. And if you don't think it's going to work, come up with something better, and we'll go with that.
Yeah, the reason I asked Triple H specifically is I feel like I think we all know what would happen to someone if they said no to Vince. It wouldn't have gone well for him.
There's only two people that I've ever witnessed say no to Vince, and that's Pat Patterson. Pat would be the guy who going, oh, come on, Vince, that's a bad idea. He'd say use more creative language, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
and Paul Heyman, but Paul Heyman would get all hot about it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. What?
it would have been fun to be able to eavesdrop on some of those conversations with like Paul Heyman and Vince McMahon and them arguing with each other. Cause I got a feeling those would have been very, very explosive.
Spicy.
Yes. But George, speaking of spicy, now, again, this is all reported stuff. I always like to be sensitive to when we hear things because you don't know where they're coming from. And Fightful's pretty good. I'm not trying to cast a shadow on their reporting. But, again, it's reports. I don't know. But assuming Ricky Starks is turning down creative pitches and he's been off TV this long, is there something – can he come back from this? Is this just a toxic relationship that isn't working out? Is this something that they should – try to get through? What are your thoughts on this from that perspective?
It's just a whole roller coaster, if anything, because Ricky Starks, I feel like up until maybe like 6 months ago, he's had a great AEW career. The thing that happened with Punk right before All Out, that kind of put a wrench into things that looked like there was heading into the right direction. I think it would ended up being like Danielson and Starks, and I really thought that Danielson had no there was no benefit of Danielson winning. Maybe it just kind of goes to show just who the favorites are in AEW, right? Like you watch Danielson against almost anybody, and this is a knock on Danielson, but you know, he wins a lot. And you know, especially when some of these guys that, you know, literally sky's the limit for guys like Starks and other people as well. And then they just kind of don't really follow through with it. Yeah, I mean, if all those stories are true, obviously we're not going to get into the whole rumors and whatnot. I think that's just silly. With that said, like, yeah, but at the same time, if you're not going to come up with a better idea, because I would hear stories about maybe like people saying no to Vince, but it wouldn't just be no, it'd be no, but what do you think of this idea? And if it's a better idea, then I heard he would go with it. And if it's not, then you're going to have to do what his original idea was. So I do feel like there's maybe a little bit of a lack of a self-awareness of just maybe saying no to everything. We kind of heard similar stories with Miro like 6 months ago, and we kind of see where Miro's at now. And obviously there's a lot, I heard there's a lot more to that story, including injuries. But yeah, like if these stories are completely true, I'm not really getting all this good faith with Ricky Starks if he's just going to say no, just for the sake of saying no. Because sometimes there are bad ideas that get played out, and it turns out it would have been a good idea. Because you never know how things will play out in front of a crowd. So sometimes maybe the boss has has a good idea. But again, if you're just going to say no, just to say no, at least have a better idea to replace the original idea.
Yeah, I am a huge Ricky Starks fan, and I want to see him be successful wherever that ends up being. I know there's a lot of rumors that he may be New York bound or Orlando bound, I guess, depending. But I want to see him be successful. I think he's talented. I'm a huge fan of that guy. But Jimmy, again, and I don't know the details of the story, but if you tell me you're a tag team and you want to go your separate ways, it makes sense that you guys would break up and have a feud, a rivalry out of it. Like that, I know you hear some stories of creative, and you're like, well, that sounds ridiculous. This sounds like a very straightforward, like that makes a ton of sense to me. So again, there's maybe more to it than just that. But yeah, I don't, it just seems weird that it would get to a point where Ricky Starks isn't even on TV over something like this.
When it comes to something like this and not being on TV, it almost feels like, you know, look at all these rumors surrounding us every day, that there's got to be some substance.
That's a great song.
It is a great song. But there's, you don't want to speculate and you don't want to make assumptions because you know what they say when you assume. But at the same time, when it keeps coming out and there may be maybe a little bit of truth, at least to some of what's being said. And as far as wanting to split up a tag team, you know, the traditional way, put them through a barbershop window, have some kind of way of parting ways and make some money from it, as opposed to, hey, you know what? Our time has come to an end. We'll shake hands and go our own separate ways. And everybody goes, yeah, so.
Right.
You know, what substance is there to that? There's no story. There's nothing to at least if you do a breakup, you can have a little bit of a rivalry, do something to go on to the next phase or whatever you want to do. But to the rest of the stuff all being said, him rejecting certain creative ideas, if it was more than once, then people start to think, you know, especially the higher ups start to say, you know, this guy's being a bit of a problem.
Yeah, and if that was the case, you know, him turning down story ideas and maybe being a problem, who's to say that it's not going to happen again in 6 months or 3 months or 9 months? Like, this is just kind of, I mean, I feel like this maybe, whether it's a month or two ago, probably the beginning of the end of Ricky Starks and AEW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I always say, you know, wrestling is definitely one of those things too. And this is easier said than done. But a lot of times, if you're getting offered something on TV, even if it's not perfect, it's kind of your job to try to make it something. That's how some of the greatest names and the greatest stories and the greatest things happened is someone was given something that was like, this is bad. And then they made it great. And that's how you know you're great. Again, I don't know the details because, you know, Ricky Starks may have a tell all where there's a lot of stuff involved. I was like, oh, I didn't know about all that. But, you know, sometimes that's wrestling. You take what you can get and you try to make the best out of it.
That's the magic in it. I mean, yeah, like I said, and just I know we'll wrap up this subject real quick, but you look at Kurt Angle. If somebody would have told Kurt Angle, hey, you're going to go out there and wear a little tiny cowboy hat, you're going to go out there and play saying Kumbaya. Yeah, on paper, you'd be like, wait, what am I doing? Like, I'm an Olympic gold medalist, Olympic hero. Why am I doing this? But I know he didn't say that, but, you know, obviously there are probably some people that thought that. And then lo and behold, it turned out to be some of the best TV that we saw during that time. And, you know, you just got to let it play out. Or like Jack said, make it your own. If you can make a bad idea and turn it into a good one and get it over, dude, that's going to score brownie points with every single person involved.
And it also gets people thinking, hey, maybe, you know, I could do it too. Maybe they give me something that sounds like crap and I could turn it into, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Tried to finish the analogy, but I'll let you guys.
Chicken crap into chicken salad. Is that what we're...
Something like that.
Well, there was Mike Bailey was seen backstage at AEW Collision. Now, he said he was just there to visit some friends, but of course that gets the world stirring. Speaking of rumors and people wondering where Mike Bailey may end up after his contract is finished with TNA. Now, a lot of people may say, yeah, he'll stay on the indies. A lot of people may say he's staying in TNA, but I always say famously, it's more fun when people jump ship. So I want to play a quick game with you real quick. First off, just real quick, I want yes or no from each of you. Jimmy, if you are if you're WWE, would you sign Mike Bailey? Yes or no?
Yes.
George, if you were AEW, would you sign Mike Bailey? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, now for the fun part. Jimmy, let's say I have a contract with Mike Bailey. Who would you trade me? If I'm TNA, who would you trade me for Mike Bailey from WWE?
Who would I trade you?
Yeah, that's, wow. You don't get him for free. We're gonna spice this up. You got to trade me somebody. Who do you want to give up for Mike Bailey?
If I had to trade,
putting you on the spot here, I didn't let you guys know this was happening.
You know, okay, you're putting me on the spot. I'm gonna say somebody who the people haven't seen for a little while. He's been back, but not really in the spotlight. I'm gonna give him. I would trade him a Baron Corbin.
Ooh.
There's a really good talent who is not being used effectively. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the fans' perception of him. So send him over to TNA, and I think he could work wonders there.
That was a great answer. Oh, I wasn't expecting. I wasn't even on my radar, but you know what? I accept that trade. I love it. As TNA, I get a veteran. I get someone who's going to bring every single thing I need in my locker room. And you get Mike Bailey. Win-win, George. Now it's on your end. You're AEW. You want Mike Bailey? Who are you going to trade me?
That's tough. I was even thinking about it while you were asking things. But actually, for the record, I just want to say if I was the WWE, I would have said no. I would probably trade like an Orange Cassidy.
Really?
Yeah, I think him being in that TNA environment of because they do a lot of creative things, and we've seen it with, you know, the Broken thing. We even saw it a couple weeks ago. They do a lot of really cool things, and I think somebody like Orange Cassidy, if this is a trade to the point where maybe he'd go back at some point, I think Orange Cassidy would be really cool to see in
TNA. I would take that trade, and I feel like I fleeced you. No offense to Mike Bailey, but I mean, Orange Cassidy is one of the biggest stars in AEW right now.
This is an Orange Cassidy thing. Like, I feel like he's done everything that he can do in AEW. I don't see him being in the world title picture anytime soon. So why not let him maybe win the TNA world title?
But you're a general manager. You gotta ask for more than one person if you're trading me an Orange Cassidy.
AEW stack.
Draft capital or something. Come on. Yeah. Picks to be named later. Come on. But yeah, I'll take that in a heartbeat. Everyone in the chat, we got Mike Martin saying Naomi, which is an interesting pick. Though Naomi was just in TNA. I don't know if I'm TNA, I don't know if I feel like that's that spicy because she's already been in TNA. Danny Cochran says Akira's off the table. No, I'll give you the whole roster. Give me Akira. Stephen Camp says Ricochet. Kind of, I don't know if that one counts anymore, but I'll give it.
No, he's a free agent, isn't he?
Technically, I can sign him. I don't need to trade for him. Mike Martin says, run back Jordan Grace. But going back to Naomi, Kenny says, good pick, Jimmy. Baron Corbin would shine in TNA or anywhere else, really. Stalking you with the dog emoji here. Mike Martin says, damage control. You're going to give me all the damage. I get three. For one, I will take it. Oh, my goodness. I'm cleaning up here. This is great. Let me know in the chat. Let me know in the comments. If you were WWE or AEW, who would you trade for Mike Bailey? Because I would say Mike Bailey. I think that Mike Bailey, we got to give him his flowers real quick. He has been working so hard the past few years. Yeah. He's been everywhere. He is very gifted. I think he's very talented. I've had the honor and privilege to be on the call for a couple of his matches. Mm-hmm. He's also just a swell guy when you meet him. So
last year's WrestleMania in LA, I think he did like 30 matches in like 3 days.
Yeah,
it was insane.
Yeah, he does. He is a cardio machine, that's for sure. And he's a guy who can do all the flying stuff, but make it mean something.
Yeah. I've got to see him. I got to call his match with Mustafa Ali, which was awesome. Oh. It was so cool. And also Tyler Breeze was a fun one as well. Oh. So he was able to do the entertainment and the wrestling. It was both.
Really quickly here, I was just thinking back to George's pick there, Orange Cassidy. I like that if you could sit under the learning tree of someone like a Tommy Dreamer and D'Lo and everybody down there.
Please don't say learning tree.
He's got a learning tree he can sit under right now. You know what grows on trees? Oranges.
I thought it was leaves, or up here we call them leafs.
Leafs.
But you know what happens to leafs in the fall? They
fall. I never noticed orange. That. I never noticed that it's a maple leafs, not the maple leaves.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy and I hashed it out. I went to I went to the game and I was, I threw me off the whole game. The Leafs, what is this? Four people sitting next to me, like, yeah, this is an exciting game. I was like, no.
I didn't know Canadians just can make up English. Like, or do you just call it octopuses?
No, but we have some different spellings.
Or do you say fishes?
Like favor is not F-A-V-O-R. It's F-A-V-O-U-R.
Well, that's like the British way. That's like the old school British way.
Is it? Is it British? I thought it was like the French Canadian over in Quebec kind of tampered with our English language. I don't know. It's a jumbled mess here.
English is just like the worst language ever, to be honest with you.
Try to understand Polish. I was just there.
It sure are.
Hey, who's on first? I don't know. Third base.
Leonard Jones says Adam Cole in TNA would be really fun. Arthur says Odyssey Jones as well. Burner account saying the ability for TNA and the Indies to make and resurrect careers is underrated. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Definitely agree with that. We got another piece of, I'm going to say news here in quotes, because it's a little bit of speculation, but Ultimo Guerrero was wearing a mask this week on AEW. Guerrero was asked to wear a mask, which he hasn't done in almost a decade, resulting in multiple issues during the match. Speculation reports Tony Khan requested him to wear the mask as he was a fan of CMLL during a time he wore the mask, and it's quite possible the graphics team had used an image of him wearing the mask and he was asked to wear one to match the graphics already made. This was from Lucha Blog. George, while this could absolutely be true, I smell someone just coming up with stuff.
Yeah, and it's not even that big of a deal either. Like, for example, like Juventud Guerrero, I feel like I saw him wrestle in a mask in AEW not too long ago, right? Against Chris Jericho. We all saw him get unmasked at Super Bowl 98 against Chris Jericho. So it's like even if they like use the wrong graphic, he can do something cool, comes out with the mask, takes it off like Psychosis did back in the day. Even if that was a story, like they're making such a big deal out of nothing. Like, dude, it's not even a big deal.
Yeah, Jimmy, this doesn't feel well sourced. I could be wrong, but I don't know. I get the idea that someone came up with this and put it on a blog. I don't know how I've never read Lucha Blog. I don't know how accurate it is. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I agree with George on this one. This seems to be some kind of, I don't want to call it a fishing expedition, but somebody's trying to come up with an excuse. And you know what? It happens. Sometimes you have a bad match. That's just the nature of the beast. You know what I mean? Like, you know what? I had a bad reffing match because I had one of these on. You know? They wanted to, I don't know.
How do you have everything every collectible you seem to have right next to you and you have unlimited? It's like one of those cartoons where someone has the little bag and every time they pull, they can pull like a million things out of it.
It's like a magician's bag. You just pull it out. Yeah. It just appears. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's always just right there. But also, even if Tony Khan did want him to, let's say this was true. It's interesting. I just saw an interview with Rey Mysterio with Chris Van Vliet, I think, who was saying like he didn't want to come back in a mask, and they said you have to, and that worked out pretty good. So I feel like even if that is the plan, like it's not like there's not a history of that making sense at times.
Too, it's funny because I think it was like a big culture thing, right? Where once you lose the mask in Lucha Libre, it's like a really big deal. So for you to go back to wearing the mask, it's kind of like sacrilegious. But I feel like since Rey Mysterio did it and it worked so well, it kind of opened up that idea of like, oh, maybe I can wear a mask, which we have seen, you know, like I mentioned, Hoovy do it. And even like I said, even when Ultimo Guerrero did it on Collision, I'm like, it's not even a big deal. Like, if he wants to wear the mask after being unmasked, like, you know, that's fine.
When you make the kind of money Rey Mysterio made, sacrilege goes right out the window.
Yeah.
actually, it's kind of cool to bring the mask back. We talk about masks and things. We got a lot to cover for this week's Dynamite. But as always, want to give a shout out to Danny Cochran, Kenny. Of course. Oh, you got a mask of your own, George.
Where's yours, George? Where's yours, Jack?
I do have an Ultimo Dragon one somewhere here, but unlike, I don't have the bag of tricks where I can pull it out, but somewhere I got an Ultimo Dragon.
Do you have it signed?
No, I wish I did though.
He's out here a lot, or every now and then.
I would love to, But yeah, Carrie Johnson's here. Daniel Barry, Stephen Camp, Nellie Belly, Laura Rock, Brianne Milligan, Arthur. Arthur, I struggle with your last name, but you're the saying guy. I got you. And of course, Jer wants Stody. I can't. I'm sorry, but he said Corderis, so I'm giving him a shout out. Do you know how to pronounce that name?
Corderis.
I've heard that version. That's the Canadian version.
Corderis.
And of course, Maria as well.
Actually, Hunter had, I don't know if it was a difficulty. He just ended up calling me Corduroy for short. So.
I love that nickname. Yeah. Nelly Belly says, Jack's hair is too perfect for the mask. Well, you know what I do? I just cut out the top.
Oh, that would be cool with the mask, with the hair sticking out. Like,
yeah, it just
sticks. That's a new gimmick for, we're going to have a bet. Remember, we had the bet going. We ended up tying. That's the new bet if we do it.
I gotta wear the mask with the hair cut out. I would absolutely do that. Jack has a Lance Storm mask somewhere. Bandito's mask is pretty cool, too. Mm-hmm. But
I think you'd actually lose the bet on purpose.
Oh, if I could show this hair? Yeah, absolutely. I'd love a mask. You know, when I was a kid, and I dreamed of being a pro wrestler like all kids do. Mm-hmm. I always imagined myself wearing a mask. I thought they were so cool. That was just what I thought. George is very close to a wrestler who wears a mask. The Destroyer too?
No, he doesn't wear a mask. But some of my other gimmicks do.
gimmicks. I don't know what that means, but we'll move on. So we have the opening of the show here. MJF comes out. But then in his hometown, Daniel Garcia cuts him off to talk about how MJF has motivated him. And now he wants to be the backbone of AEW. MJF talks about Daniel Garcia becoming one of the best. And MJF puts his money where his mouth is and challenges Daniel Garcia to a match at Wembley Stadium at All In. Will Ospreay also comes out and puts over Daniel Garcia and says next week, international championship on the line, as well as the AEW world title. Elsewhere in the arena, Swerve questions Ospreay's focus. Lots of stuff coming through here, George. I thought this was a great showing to say that, yes, Daniel Garcia is someone to keep an eye on. And I also like the planting seeds here, but do you think it was too much too fast?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, I was a big fan of this segment. Just to kind of break it down and layer it up a little bit, maybe we're all getting a little too spoiled by some of this character stuff that we've been seeing for the last year or two. But I feel like MJF has that capability to be one of those guys. And I just kind of want to see him not be so trusting, especially after everything that happened in the last year or so. So for him to kind of just be all buddy-buddy with Daniel Garcia, but also kind of, you know, I don't know. I feel like there's something to MJF that I feel like we need to see more, not just come out here and be like a good guy baby face, which I'm fine with, but I just kind of, I feel like there's some layers that we can attach to that character. But yeah, overall, you know, loving the big pop that Daniel Garcia got from his hometown in Buffalo. For a second, I thought he was going to have a match, but I guess they're taping Collision, and he's having a match with the Butcher that's going to be on Saturday, which kind of is fine. But yeah, like, you know, you have all these main event players coming out, and I like that kind of dig that Ospreay did that, you know, hey, you can have a world title shot as well. But I don't like world title matches just kind of being thrown out willy-nilly. You know, Garcia has done enough to maybe get an international championship match, but I don't think he's done enough to get a world championship match, especially when we're having an Owen Hart tournament where the winner of that is going on to... It does seem like there's a lot going on now that I'm kind of talking it out, but I'm fine with it. Forbidden Door is just, I feel like it's one of those pay-per-views where a little bit of a storylines go out the window just because we have all these other companies happening or other companies kind of coming in. So I'm okay with them even looking forward to the future. I know that was a little chatter on Twitter today as far as, you know, booking too much, but I like the segment overall. That helped with the end part of Dynamite, which we'll get into as far as hype to the world title match as well.
Jimmy, this segment I really enjoyed. I thought that MJF, I get what George is saying about him being too friendly, but I think that kind of look on his face at the end helped solidify that. I thought that was really great work from him. My one gripe with this, and I want your overall thoughts of this. Mm-hmm. My one gripe is kind of George's point, throwing in the world title. To me, it's less about anyone getting a title shot and more about, I don't think Will Ospreay is winning that match now that he said that.
Yeah,
I don't think I should say it. Forbidden Door.
No, I hear you. I like you guys, I thought it was smart to put, I'm trying to get a lot in here now, but it's smart to put Garcia in that spot in his hometown. You're going to get the desired reaction, obviously, from the hometown crowd, and that's what you want. And then you put him in there with two of your biggest stars. You know, that makes him feel like a player. And having these guys saying, we want a match with you, where they're going to him and saying, we want a match with you, that makes him, again, feel like a big-time player. He feels like he belongs. The one gripe I had with Garcia's promo was, I think he was too moving. He was moving too much in the ring, walking back and forth, pacing back and forth while he was talking, looking at the camera, looking at the people. He's cutting the promo. You know, MJF is over here. The fans are over there. Keep your focus on the guy who you're talking to instead of walking away and turning your back to him. That's what heels do, not baby faces.
Yeah.
If you get my drift. Now you're telling me, I don't give a crap about you. I'm just going to go talk over here. I'm going to go talk to the people over here. I'm going to talk to camera here. He talked to everybody but MJF. That, you know, other than that, I like the way it was set up. Having Ospreay come out, and I agree, I didn't like the idea of him saying, you know, I know people are going to say, yeah, but he's planting seeds. But no, you don't go there because this Sunday, you have a match for the World Heavyweight Championship. That's your focus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just say, when I win the world title, you'll be the first one in line, or something along those lines. Not next week, I'm going to face you. And, you know, now you're promoting next week ahead of the pay-per-view you're trying to promote this Sunday.
I mean, I dig the confidence from him, though. I mean, because that just goes to show that maybe he's a little too cocky. The only thing that kind of maybe goes into play is, let's say he's within like an arm hair of winning the championship. I don't want him to be on Dynamite next week as if nothing happened. Like, he should have a look of like, man, I was so close, but now I got to defend this championship. Not that he doesn't want to, but like, now I got to defend it. I'd like to see there be some follow up if maybe he lost maybe because of interference, or even if he loses cleanly because he was that close. Yeah, I just would want him to see him on Dynamite next week with the after effect of what happened at Forbidden Door.
See, and that's the problem. Sorry to cut you off there, Jack, but that's the problem. We're thinking ahead to next Wednesday as opposed to focusing on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm
thinking ahead. Yeah.
In the moment, I liked the comment, because I agree with George. In the moment, I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. He's so confident he's going to put both titles on the line. But then, yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, well, that means I don't think he's winning the world title. And I kind of have a feeling, I don't want to get too far in predictions, I kind of have a feeling MJF is going to cost him the international title. Because then that makes that MJF Daniel Garcia match an international championship match.
But also, like, that seemed like maybe it wasn't really confirmed either, because like, it wasn't ever like, all right, you're on. It was before it can even get accepted, we had Will Ospreay come out and kind of interrupt the flow of whatever MJF was saying. So you have that element in terms of maybe we're going to see Ospreay and MJF in Wembley instead. Because, and not to hate on Daniel Garcia, but like, I just feel like that's not a big enough match for Wembley. MJF was just in the main event last year of All In. And I just feel like maybe against Daniel Garcia, especially if it's not for a championship, would maybe be a step down.
Well, I mean, if he's not going to be in the main event, anything's going to be a step down at that point. I mean, and they still have a long ways to go until All In. It's not until August. So they still got 2 months to get Daniel Garcia to wherever he needs to be. I have a feeling he's going to have a very strong summer. This is where I would say if wrestlers were stocks, buy Daniel Garcia stock for this summer, because I think it's going to go up at least until All In. I'm a big fan of Daniel Garcia. Beer Money says he's from, they are from Buffalo as well, and really want Daniel to be a star. Doesn't think he's there yet. Of course, look, he's in there with two of the biggest stars in the company. I think that's okay to not be there yet. I'm a big believer in Daniel Garcia. I think he'll eventually become a very big deal. He's super young still.
He does need a few wins to get some players, though, because him beating a bunch of jabronis every week ain't doing it. He needs that big win against like a Danielson or I know Kingston's not there anymore, but just somebody that has been there to the mountaintop. I think Garcia is like one big win away from that next level.
Right.
On a big stage too.
Yeah.
Like, yes, on a big platform.
Yeah. It can't be on Collision or Rampage. In fact, I don't know if there's another show between All In and Forbidden Door offhand. I don't know. I don't think there is.
I don't think there is, but I think they have a lot of big dynamite, like Blood and Guts is in July. So that's going to be a big deal. Pay-per-view type card. So yeah,
he needs a big win on one of those platforms. And last of all, I do want to just circle back to something Jimmy said. I like how you talk about moving around the ring. Cause I think a lot of times people say, well, there's a lot of people that walk around the ring. MJF walks around the ring, but you're right. There's a difference between kind of mindlessly, no disrespect, to walking around just talking versus camera one, camera two, camera one, camera two, you know, and like knowing, hitting your points. And I think this is a subtle difference, but there is a big difference when they do that.
Yeah.
So I think that was a really good thing you pointed out there. I agree completely. Ah, yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Jack Farmer with Wrestling Inc. And you know, plenty of pro wrestlers made their names at the Olympic Games. Kurt Angle, Mark Henry, even Ronda Rousey. I'll be watching this year's Olympics to see the pro wrestlers of tomorrow. And staying hydrated isn't just for the athletes, it's for those of us watching at home, too. That's why I pour Liquid IV into a glass of water for physical endurance, mental clarity, and overall well-being. One stick of Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients. It's easy to mix, and I love that it doesn't taste fake. Plus, 4 of the flavors are sugar-free. It's also great when I travel to a live event. A few sticks of Liquid IV in my bag guarantees I'll be at my best and that my head isn't pounding as the pyro goes off. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com. We move on to the Blackpool Combat Club versus Ingobernables. I say that wrong. George, how do you say their name?
Ingobernables.
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 Exactly. This one's happening because Bryan Danielson is facing Takagi at Forbidden Door. Eventually, this match breaks down. Mox grabs a chair and the team gets DQ'd. Naito appears on the screen and very slowly makes his way out until Mox goes to him and they brawl in the crowd. Danielson stares down Takagi. This matchup felt very much like this is before the big show, before the pay-per-view. This is happening. Don't really know if there's a lot of value in the match itself outside of just entertaining match if you're into entertaining matches. Thoughts on anything from the match? And also, this referee was from New Japan Pro Wrestling. How did he do?
Little different style. He's not as overt. Mm-hmm. Shall I say, as some of the other referees that I've seen, he looked, and again, not to just, I'm not familiar with his work overall. Mm-hmm. His positioning was a little bit off at times for me, because he seemed to be standing in corners that the guys were working towards. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And you got to be kind of ring aware and see these things kind of coming. I mean, you can't, obviously, if you don't know where they're going to go, but you have to kind of keep an eye out and kind of position yourself where it's easy to get out of the way, as opposed to looking like you're in the way and have to move real, you know, jump real quick. Yeah. And the other thing too, very tiny. I don't think I've seen a ref that short in a long time, you know?
Right.
But other than that, he was fine. I don't know if there was a language barrier. His English seemed fine from what I heard, at least anyways.
Yeah.
But from the match itself, it was what it was. I was a little bit surprised because a lot of the Japanese wrestlers come over and they, you know, that Japanese strong style where they lay stuff in. I saw a lot of stuff in that match that really was not laid in at all. Looked very, I hate to say it, but looked a little soft. And I'm like, you know, and so with someone like Mox is a guy who brings it.
Yeah.
You know? So you got to bring it back. And the confusing a little bit with the chair ending and all that, but I get where
they're
trying to go.
I feel like with the soft thing, it's hard for me to critique, because if I was a wrestler, I'd be like, look, you can't go soft enough. Just go. George, any thoughts on this one? I kind of get it. It felt like they were trying to protect people, but I felt like whenever a match like this just ends with the guy deciding to DQ themselves, I'm always a little bit like, well, what was that for?
I thought it was great, to be honest with you. And let me tell you why. Because almost every single BCC match that I see, listen, the in-ring stuff is great. And nobody's ever going to question the ability of like a Cesaro or Castagnoli, Moxley, and all those people. So I'm like, great, another BCC victory, you know? So when you see a finish like this, I'm like, oh, great. Like something different. You know, we actually saw like a DQ finish. You know, like not all DQ, just because a match ends in a DQ doesn't mean it's bad. Doesn't mean like, right. Oh man, like, I think if anything, a lot of people have been trained to think that a DQ or a count out is bad. You know, how many times do we see like a match end in a draw and then we hear the crowd trying to like BS or whatever, they start booing? No, like it's a finish. It's pro wrestling. Like who's the worker here? Is the crowd the workers or the people in the ring the workers? You know, so I feel like if people don't like it, like they're not supposed to like a DQ finish. But guess what? At the end of the day, it's still a good finish to have, especially for a match that you have so many components, and especially with Forbidden Door. You can't have Moxley lose. You can't have Takagi lose. So I thought this was the perfect finish for this match. My only question of the whole thing is, how come it's not pronounced Titan? It's pronounced Titan.
You're the one I always ask for pronunciation advice. So how do I
mean, tell you? I know why. Because of that tower in Stanford.
You know what's funny? I thought the same thing during the match. I'm like, oh, man, I bet they're doing it because of Titan Tower. Whatever. Obviously, we're all kidding. But, you know, I thought it was great. I thought Hiromu Takahashi was great. I thought he mixed it up really well with Rilo Yuta. I thought these two played off really well. And like I said, overall, I thought the match was great.
Well, Danny Cochran has a question for you, Jimmy. Have you ever met Red Shoes?
Oh, a long time ago in Japan, I did get to meet him. And just very briefly, it was, you know, and very respectful.
Very cool. George Hermosa has a question. Do you have a Ribera jacket?
I lost it. I can't believe I lost it. Yeah, I know. I feel like, you know, you get one of those, you treat it like gold, and I have no idea where it is.
That's... Jimmy, you could find everything else, but you can't.
I know. I can't find my Ribera jacket. I'm so, you know what? That still pisses me off to this day that I still can't find it.
We need to do like a WWE Hidden Treasures, but it's just us three driving around trying to find your jacket.
Oh, well, whoever's got it, they got a receipt coming. I'm telling you.
Sounds like we know what the next episode of Hidden Treasures is going to be.
Yes. So
or whatever that show is called.
We got Jay White versus Phoenix for the Owen Hart tournament, Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Everyone gets ejected from ringside to kick things off. We get some back and forth, but Jay White gets the win. The story is, though, post-match, the patriarchy comes down and we get a stare down with Jay White and Christian Cage. Jimmy, we got the patriarchy, Bullet Club. They were talking about House of Black. Are we building a trios division here?
I guess it sounds like it, but I thought it was the wrong time for it because you're having the Owen Hart tournament, and that should mean something and mean more than yeah. I'm not saying it should mean more than titles, but it's for a title opportunity, for the title opportunity. But like you say, sometimes they try to put too much together. I understand that you're trying to build a trios division. That's what it seems like you said, Jack. But at the same time, there's a time and a place for it. I didn't think that was the right time for it. Let the tournament stand on its own and let the winners, you know, celebrate the moment that they get to advance in the tournament. Make it feel like it's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree with that because I kind of forgot that this was. In fact, I forgot to put it in my notes because after the match, I was like, oh, this is a trios thing. So I can't argue with you because I forgot it was part of the tournament after the matchup. George, thoughts on the matchup, thoughts on the tournament, and thoughts on Jay White. I am really big on Jay White, and I've said before, but I think he could be a top-tier villain in AEW if they wanted him to be.
The only criticism that I have in regards to that, you know, faction is I'm not a fan of more than one act doing the lights off. And then coming back on with the lights, you know, whatever, because I know House of Black does that too. Mm-hmm. But if I were to give it to one act, it'd be this act, because that entrance with you know, the Owen, especially with the Owen trophy in the middle and the camera going around. Oh, my God. Like that to me is so money. And I'm all about a visual. And I think that is so, so cool. With that said, you're investing in Daniel Garcia. I'm all in on Jay White. Like, I think this guy is great. I think this guy is the whole package. I know he kind of looks like a buff Shia LaBeouf, but this guy just is everything. I think he's great on the mic. He's great in the ring. This was a great match. I was a big fan of him and Phoenix and how they mix it up. I like that they actually had a match and not have to be distracted by all this outside interference. So props to Rick Knox for that one. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, we don't give Rick Knox that much props nowadays, but, you know, he did the right thing and got rid of everybody. And we just got to see a great wrestling match with somebody who I think is a future world champion in AEW.
Well, that's where I disagree with you, because Juice Robinson is a treasure and should be at ringside for every match. Jimmy, that guy, I don't know how much coffee he drinks before he comes out there, but he is so fired up for everything. I love it. He's like, I'm sure he's in line at the DMV. Like, I'm renewing my driver's license.
No. He's hanging out back with Prince Nana, and they're just sipping on that coffee all day long, man.
I don't think he's sipping. I think he's chugging.
If AEW ever did like a Total Divas type show, I feel like the Juice Robinson, Tony Storm household would be the most entertaining thing about that show.
Oh, my God. You're right.
Oh, the entire house, everything's black and white.
Yeah.
I imagine they have a piece of tape down the middle, and on one side it's black and white, and the other side it's just bonkers because Juice Robinson is insane. I just get a big smile on my face every time he's doing it. It was a while back, but his promo still, someone shared it recently, the one he did against CM Punk recently, where he's like, "You want me to go to sleep? I'm not even tired. You see bags under my eyes." I was like, oh my God, this guy's nuts. I love it.
Well, like you said, at his house, that'd be perfect. Instead of a bar, he has this nice shelf with all the different coffees of the world that he drinks.
Actually, in his house, yeah, he's actually really like nice and like, yeah, it's really neatly displayed and everything else. Danny Cocker says shoes and coffee being thrown everywhere. Yeah, I absolutely love the Bullet Club, Bang Bang Gang, whatever. Bang Bang Gang. Still, I got confused with the Scissor Gang part for a second there, but. I love this group. I want to see them do more, and we're going to talk about the Young Bucks here literally next, but I always talk about, I feel like the Young Bucks or the Elite needs that killer leader that's like dangerous. I feel like Jay White's that guy that can talk, but also like he's not there to have fun and play around. He's there to take things and be a bad guy. I would love to see someone like him in that position, but of course I don't want to see him lose the Bullet Club because I like the Bullet Club too. So can't have my way, I guess. Nelly Belly, I don't know. I didn't actually see the comments, so I can't answer your question there. Young Bucks. So two different segments. We'll break it up here. First, they tease the mystery person who is handpicked by them to be in the Owen Hart tournament, and that they're going to win the title, and that once they have the title, the Elite will have all of the gold. Jimmy, I think that the obvious thought here is Adam Page. Mm-hmm. Guy who's been gone for a while, connected to the Elite. But do you think it might be someone else? I think it might be someone, I like the word spicy. Think we might have someone that maybe we're not thinking about yet, or do you think it's going to be Adam Page?
I hope it's not Adam Page because I want him to be involved somewhere else. And we may get to that later when we do predictions. But I wonder if it's somebody who is from Okada's past that may be coming in to take him out, so to speak. And then because Okada, yes, he's doing his job well as a heel, but the fans are still liking him, especially using the B word. And for him, it's like he gets the pop that you're not supposed to get as a heel. You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe the time is right for him to be excommunicated from the EVPs faction and turn him into a real full-blown babyface that goes after the EVPs and whoever this person might be lurking to take his spot.
George, they teased the idea that they could have all of the gold in AEW at the end of this. Are you a fan of factions being, as they say, draped in gold and having all of them? Should they do something like that? Or are you like, no, that makes everything boring?
I am totally a fan of that. As mentioned before, I'm all about the visuals, and a visual of just one faction holding all the gold is a tremendous one. We saw it, you know, previously with the Horsemen, with Evolution. We saw it not too long ago with the Hurt Business. I think it's completely
Undisputed era.
Yeah, like I think it's just a great, great thing to have. It really helps elevate certain people. But didn't Adam Page get like fired from the Elite?
Yeah.
So why would he come back as like, oh, by the way, I know you guys fired me, but now I'm going to be with you guys in the wild card. And I hope it's not Adam Page for one, that, because I don't want there to be any kind of storyline flaws with that. And two, like, I don't want to see Jeff Jarrett lose. You know, I, you know, especially all these video packages and promos that we're seeing online, like, I don't want him to just be, you know, be one and done. I want him to at least win a match. And even if he maybe goes on to maybe lose in the second round, like, I feel like, you know, he at least got that, that victory in the first round of the Open. So I don't want to be, I don't want it to be Adam Page, because I think that's not going to go well for Jarrett if that's the case. So I'm kind of mind blown, because it sounds like we're going to see who it is on next week's beach break, right? They announced it for it to be then.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be the one and only one. Granted, I have no idea when his contract expires. I don't know. I'm honestly like drawing a huge blank on who it can be as far as who this wild card is.
Yeah. You know, Jimmy, we talked about emotion in wrestling, and I didn't imagine this segment would go this long, but whatever. I think this is interesting. Jeff Jarrett, his promos online have been incredible. And he's one of those names where when I first saw it, I was like, Jeff Jarrett, like, he's not even on TV. But then a second later, I go, oh my God, there's such a history there. Mm-hmm. If they play up the history and they let him do these promos, Jeff Jarrett going all the way through this thing, at least till the end, or I think he could go to the finals, I think. And I think people would be really on their feet for this guy by the end. I think they could have magic with that.
They absolutely could. And at first I was kind of skeptical about having him in the tournament, saying, you know what, this tournament is to elevate some young talent, and maybe Jeff Jarrett could have a spot in there to elevate that young talent. But at the same time, like you said, looking at these things online and listening to Jeff Jarrett speaking from the heart, because this isn't wrestling, what Jeff Jarrett's talking about. This is real life. This is real emotion. He is talking about someone that was very close to him in Owen Hart. And if anybody could speak to that, Jeff Jarrett can, because they were that close. Not that others weren't close, but man, when I saw it myself, I started getting emotional. Mm-hmm. And then it changed my mind. And I said, you know what? He damn well belongs in this tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the right place for him. And if this is his way to pay tribute to Owen, let him do it. I'm not saying he should win the whole thing, but man, he should go at least to the semifinals, if not the finals.
And even if he does win, like, what a great story that would be.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, I'm imagining this wouldn't be a retirement tour for Jeff Jarrett, but I'm imagining Ric Flair in his last run in WWE, where it was like, when you lose, you're fired. And it was like him just trying to overcome, and is like, do I got another match in me? Can I do this? And I think if they played up that, like, you know, him being like, listen, I'm older than these younger guys, you know, but I still got a few tricks. Can my body hold up? Can I do this? And I think if he had a hard fought match in the end and came up short, it would still just be one of those kind of rocky emotional moments of like, you didn't get the win, but man, you hung in there and you really made Owen proud, and you could still have whoever you want go on to the finals. But man, one of my biggest critiques about AEW, honestly, is they leave so much gold in promos on Twitter and not on Dynamite. Their promos on Twitter are incredible. Even if they've already been on Twitter, throw them on Dynamite. Make your life easy. They're so good. Yep. They should be putting all these on Dynamite. They're so good. And I think
Jarrett has been such a good heel throughout the years that people forget just how good he is. Like, people don't realize just how, I mean, he's literally done anything and everything in this business for the last nearly 40 years that people, I think he's, I know he got his flowers in the WWE Hall of Fame a couple years ago, but just overall, I feel like he still hasn't gotten enough flowers for everything that he's done and how good he is in professional wrestling.
Yeah. Later, the Bucks and the Acclaim have a quick chat, and it's going to be Tanahashi and the Acclaim teaming up to take on the Elite. We'll talk about that more during the prediction segment. I don't think there's really much to break down individually from that segment. But Toni Storm, Mina Shirakawa, and Mariah May took on the Outcasts. And this one was set up last week. And even though Storm, Mina, and Mariah win, there's jealousy between Toni and Mina the entire time. And when they're celebrating, Mina tries to hit Toni with the champagne bottle, but Toni ducks and hits Mariah May. And George, this story to me has quickly become one of my favorite things in AEW. This, I was hesitant with them not explaining the Mina Shirakawa background, but I feel like now this is heated. There's jealousy. Whose side is Mariah May on? The title's on the line. I feel like there's just a lot of stuff going here. I'm interested. I'm on board for this.
I love this. Again, going back to what you just said, maybe leaving a lot of stuff and not putting on Dynamite. Like this was great. You know, this was everything it needed to be. It created a lot more heat for their match. You know, obviously we saw a little bit more at the end of the show as well, but just, you know, with Mariah in the middle. Now we have this element of, at the end of the day, whether you were aiming for Toni or not, you literally hit Mariah May in the head with a bottle of champagne. My only beef with this, and we say it every single week, is that I feel like it should have been a bigger deal. This girl just got hit in the head with a bottle of champagne, and you already have Excalibur moving on to the next segment. You know, I'm not saying you got to do the whole somber voice and everything, but, you know, make it a big deal. Is she going to be ready to be there on Sunday? Because that's kind of a, you know, I'm sure you got a concussion. I'm sure you got maybe, I'm not saying it should have been blood, but that would have been a neat visual to have, seeing a blonde girl with blood all over her hair. But yeah, either way, I loved it. The match kind of became secondary, even though everybody did a great job in it. Even going back to the beginning where you had Toni come out with Mariah, but then Mariah rushed to the back so she can do her little dance with Mina. Like this to me has a lot of layers, and I can't say enough good things about just everything that we've seen with these ladies.
Yeah, Jimmy, that I thought going into this, it felt like Mariah May was going to choose Mina Shirakawa and that was going to be the way this went. But now I don't know. And now I don't know how it's going to turn out. And I feel like this is exactly what you want. I think this is the best drama that AEW's been doing in a long time.
Yeah, and like you said, you don't know, and that's the beauty of this thing. Everybody thinks they knows, and like you said, just when you think you have all the answers, they change the questions, as the late great Roddy Piper used to say. So I enjoyed this segment as well, you know, and hey, that was real glass, by the way. So, you know, what more can you say? There's a story behind it. People are invested in the people involved in this story. And you're adding layers to it. And that's what sells tickets. That's what people get invested in. And that's why people are enjoying this segment. That's why people are enjoying Toni Storm so much. And now that they've added this little twist here with the champagne bottle to the head, now people are starting to wonder, because it looked like Mina and May were kind of very friendly.
Yeah.
Now let's see, can they get along?
Right. Well, yeah. And that's, I mean, it's with the way it started, I was critical about not explaining what was going on with Mina and Mariah May, but that's worked out. I'm caught up enough now to be into it, and I'm fascinated by this one. Real quick, we got Mercedes Moné tells us that she knocked out Stephanie Vacker and then held both titles over her head. Just really quick on this one, because there's not much to it. Jimmy, do you feels like Mercedes has really just been quick backstage, pre-filmed promos or video packages the past few weeks? Is that good for someone like Mercedes to not have her actually there very often, since she is a star? Or do you think they need to have her there every week?
I don't know if she has to be there every week, but when she is there, put her in front of the audience so they could react and we could see the reaction and hear the reaction. That's what I'm thinking. She's backstage all the time, and she has to be in Buffalo because they're taping Collision afterwards. Mm-hmm. And she said she was going to be at ringside.
Yeah.
You know, so she's there.
Right.
Put her out in front of the crowd. Even if it's just for a quick little walk out on the stage with a mic, say her piece, get that crowd reaction, and walk out. That's all you need.
I completely disagree with everything. Because her character is so like wishy-washy. Is she a face? Is she a heel? I don't need her wasting time with that horrific theme song, by the way, coming out and her just yeah. No,
you chant it when she comes out. Wait, don't lie.
Have we ever found out what the hell that means?
Chief entertainment off. I don't know.
But yeah, but so I kind of like these backstage 30 seconds to 60 second kind of promos, because it just boom, it gets straight to the point. There's no, you know, need for that crowd reaction. There's no like trying to figure out if the crowd pops for whatever you're saying or not. Mm-hmm. Just come out there. You know, like I said, it completely avoids all those things. Just do her thing, 30 to 60 seconds, get straight to the point, and then we're boom. I think she does need some kind of presence to be there on Dynamite every single week to remind everybody how big of a star she is. She doesn't need to wrestle every week because by means, like, she is so to the point where she's probably perfect in the ring. So we should be able to make that more special and, you know, spread it out a little bit more. But I'm completely fine with her having that 30-second backstage promo every week to maybe make it more special for when she does come out and maybe get whatever kind of reaction that she's looking for.
We go on to the learning tree. And this is a segment that I hated for a long time, and it's really grown on. You know, I enjoy a learning tree, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I feel like I knew what they were going for. I don't know if it worked this time, because I left this segment very confused. First off, they come out and they say Joe Hook and Shibata hurt Brian Keith, so now they're gonna get Minoru Suzuki, but Suzuki says he's going to challenge for the FTW title. Joe comes out and they have a brawl, and it appears the trios match is still on. Jimmy, the worst possible situation happened here with the segment, where I have no idea what happened. I don't know, like this match that was set. I don't know if it's happening or if it's changed. I'm totally confused by what we're doing here.
You and me both, my friend. This is once again the case of who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third, and you know who's coaching. I don't give a darn. The best part of the whole segment was Joe on the mic.
He's great.
He's just fantastic. I love Samoa Joe. I think he's great. But this whole segment, trying to get, like you said, it's confusing. Is the trios match going on? Is there a match for the FTW title? Who knows what's going on? And you don't want to leave your fans hanging. You know, I get it. Okay, tune in Sunday and find out. But you're paying $50 to find out? No.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, it's very – again, the reason I say I get what they're going for is I like the surprise. I thought it was a fun little twist with Suzuki challenging Jericho. And I think if they had said, okay, it will now be Jericho versus Suzuki instead of the trios, we're good. I get it. But then Joe, Hook, Shibata come out, and I think they said the match is still happening, the trios match. But now they're going to have to get someone other than Suzuki, so I wonder what was that all about. This is Jack Farmer saying, too many potatoes. I'm getting the too many potato line today, Jimmy. I got lost. George, I want your thoughts on this. And I also want to know, in the history of funny names, I've heard Lex Luger, I've heard Hooventurd, I've heard Bobby Trashley, and the Dung Bucks. Now, does Samoa Joke fit in that echelon of names?
Yeah. That's up there with Stinko Malenko and, you know, Quasi Juice Guerrero. I'm going to go a little glass half full on this one. Because there is still, and I don't think people, maybe they need to do a better job. There's still 5 hours of eight. I'm sorry, four. There's still 3 hours of AEW programming before Forbidden Door. Yeah. They still have an hour of Rampage. It's not 2 hours of Collision. They got time to clear all this stuff up. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that we're going to have a little bit more clarity before Forbidden Door as far as what the hell is going on with this promo or with this match in general, whatever the hell is happening. Yeah, as far as the segment itself, yes, not good. Like I said, I pretty much almost put my headphones down and just walked away because I don't want to talk about it. But like I said, it's they got 3 hours of TV to fix it. So we'll see how it goes. They got time to kind of clear everything up before the pay-per-view.
Well, they certainly do. Zack Sabre Jr. and Kyle O'Reilly, they had a match in the Battle of the Men with deceptively long names. Gabe Kidd is at ringside. Orange Cassidy's on commentary. Gabe Kidd and Roderick Strong getting into an argument. Roderick Strong checks on O'Reilly after the match. TMDK stare down O'Reilly. Ishii comes out to stand with Cassidy. Zack Sabre Jr. got the win, by the way. George, for me, like starting with that learning tree segment, I feel like the show kind of went off the tracks a little bit here because this was another one. Match phenomenal. If we're just talking about matchup, this is for the wrestling fan, the sickos, as they say. Loved it. But all this stuff on the outside with Gabe Kidd, who's a talent, but I don't know why he's there. TMDK is there. Why is Ishii coming? Why are we throwing all these people in the ring? I don't get what this is.
Because it's Forbidden Door season. This is what we see in the TV before Forbidden Door. We see a lot of these kind of people that are more international, just kind of get a lot of TV time over a lot of the AEW guys. And this is just what it is. It's one of those things where this is going to happen every single year. So let's just make the best of the situation. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Gabe Kidd, but even that, I'm like, why? So why is he teaming with an Undisputed Kingdom member? Shouldn't it be Gabe Kidd, another member of that Bullet Club, War Dogs, whatever it's called? And now they're going to team on Rampage, I believe. So there was a lot going on. It did take away a little bit from the match, which is okay. You know, I can't complain when there's when there's too much just wrestling and not enough hoopla. So I can't complain when there is hoopla involved. But yeah, I would have liked a little bit more clarity on what exactly is going on with all these people that are kind of mixing it up a little bit. Big fan of TMDK. I think they're great. So, you know, I want to see, again, they got 3 hours of TV to kind of figure out exactly what else is going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if there's one more match added to Forbidden Door with that said.
Jimmy, one of the lines I kept repeating over and over again at the end was Orange Cassidy still has some friends when Ishii came out. Obviously, talking about what happened with the best friends now no longer being by his side. But I felt like the whole concept of that was like, what a middle finger to Kyle O'Reilly and Mark Briscoe, who are with him every single week. Like, to say he still has some friends. What are they? Chopped liver? What are we saying? I don't know. And you guys know I'm pretty I like to defend chaos and anarchy after matches, but this one I didn't get. I don't understand. I really just didn't understand why a lot of these people were there.
I didn't understand it either, and I didn't understand why it was happening while they were tending to an injured wrestler in the ring. So you took the focus away from, like you said, by the way, Zack Sabre Jr. won the match. That's not the reaction you want after a match. You want people to remember who won every match, and especially this was a tournament match, was it not?
No,
it wasn't a tournament match.
Or was it? No, I don't think so.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Okay, so I got a little confused. That's okay. I can admit when I'm. No, but you're right. It was a good match, and the guys worked their butts off and had a great match. And you had that angle at the end where on the arm, and there's Kyle O'Reilly selling his arm, and everybody looks concerned about it, and then all this chaos is going on in the ring. Okay, forget about what happened to the injured guy over here. Look what's happening here. A bunch of guys are facing off.
Right.
That didn't sit well with me.
Yeah, you're right. I think because there's even a story with Roderick Strong trying to win back Kyle O'Reilly into the group. He's hurt. He's checking on him. There's a story there that has been built as an AEW fan, and maybe in New Japan it's different, but as an AEW fan, I don't know why Ishii's out here standing off with TMDK. I don't, that's random to me, but that was the focus. And I wasn't really helped in any very much with video packages or commentary. No one really explained anything or why I should care, because it's still just Zack Sabre Jr. versus Orange Cassidy.
No, they just popped for him coming out. That was it.
So
and even with the Kyle O'Reilly thing, they did briefly mention it. Roderick Strong maybe trying to lure him back in the group, and then somebody must have told him in headset, "Okay, move on next."
Yeah, I would prefer they stayed on that, because that's a story that, as a fan, I'm following. We get to the main event, Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay versus the Gates of Agony. Ospreay considers the Tiger Driver, but opts for the Stormbreaker. Things get reversed, and Ospreay accidentally hits Swerve. Swerve gets back in and actually works with Ospreay, showing that these two can truly coexist. Until they get the win, Ospreay snags the title one more time, but this time Swerve hits him with the house call for doing it. George, previous weeks, we complained about how Swerve did not react to the title being stolen, and they stood there for a long time. I felt like the ending tonight kind of rectified that in one of those, I let you get away with it last time, but now I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah, I can't say enough great things about this as well. This was just, loved it. Loved that he followed through. Like, this was the reaction that Ospreay should have had last week when Swerve talked about his family, even after telling him to not to. But again, now we have Swerve the one saying, like, hey, I told you, I let you have one, but it ain't going to happen again. So I loved it. I love the follow through. Yeah, I won't go on the match because it's just going to be nitpicking. But yeah, this to me did more build. And again, it probably so because, you know, pay-per-views this weekend. So this was a great go-home finish to lead up to their match. And I'm kind of curious if they are going to maybe have any kind of interaction on Collision. Who knows? But yeah, this was a great way to finish the show.
Yeah, Jim, we talk all the time about how that final moment is so important in AEW and sometimes, or in wrestling. And I think sometimes we feel like AEW doesn't get it. I thought that this week, this was a great ending to the show, hitting the house call, standing over Will Ospreay holding the title. That's for all the marbles. That's the big match on Sunday. I liked how they closed out tonight. What about you?
No, I did too. And I like the way he did it. Swerve did it in the nice, when he took him out mm-hmm. and he just slowly took his time and bent down, picked up the title, then picked it up. You know, timing, the way he did it. That's what resonated with me more than him taking out Ospreay, just mm-hmm. the way he picked up that title and held it like, see, this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it's the little things that I'd like, mm-hmm. you know, like George, I could nitpick about the match. Like for example, I'll nitpick about one thing. Swerve and Ospreay were kind of at odds going into this match. Reluctant tag team partners, you can say for lack mm-hmm. of a better term.
Yeah.
But they were coexisting well in double team moves, like they've been partners forever.
Right.
That kind of throws me off a little bit. Where, hey man, you guys look really too smooth to be doing this, you know, as a team.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. There's that level of you sometimes not being great is the best thing you can do, in certain situations. Like, yes, they can do all these great moves, but they're supposed to be a team that doesn't trust each other and doesn't want to work together. So that's where not being great would have played very well. Mm-hmm. I was enjoying the match.
Well, since you mentioned it, I mean, my nitpicking, and this isn't uh-oh. Just this match, because it's been happening for like decades, is I've never been a fan when an actual tag team loses to not a tag team. I know they're supposed to be the two top wrestlers out there, but the whole thing about tag team wrestling is, you know, having that psychology, isolating the corner or isolating half the ring, you know, using partners, like they should be able to see that as a team and be able to kind of see that the other team has no kind of cohesiveness. Yeah. So that's my only thing. And it's been happening forever and ever. Like the fact that John mm-hmm. Cena and The Miz are former WWE tag team champions, like that just mind blown. But again, that's just something that's been happening for decades already.
That is a weird trivia question, to be totally honest with you, though.
Like, they were champion for one day.
Like if you did one of those things, like, can you name all the previous champions? I would not get that one. I remember it when you say it, but like on my own, if you said name all, I couldn't remember.
What's great is now I'm sidetracking. I want to say John Cena and The Miz. Do you want to know what team they beat? You're not going to believe the team that they beat.
It's going to be like, what was Rene Dupree's?
La Resistance.
La Resistance.
Or you mean him and like Kenzo Suzuki when they were champion? No. When I tell you the
random names,
they beat Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre for the tag team championships.
What a weird.
Whatever happened to those two guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing now. Probably nothing big. My one, since we all have a little nitpick, I'm not digging the whole Ospreay considers doing the Tiger Driver every single match and then decides not to do it, especially when it's the same setup to his other move. So it's kind of like, I'm not doing Brain Busters anymore, but then you hook him and you think about it and then you do a vertical suplex every time. It's like, well, why are you like, I don't know. It's like,
Yeah, it's like quitting smoking. I know you pick up the pack every once in a while, but at some point you just leave it and don't even bother with it.
Like, I get that eventually he's going to hit it again. That's probably what they're building to, but I feel like it's getting a little too obvious that every time he has to stop and think about it. But that's my nitpick. Something I'm not nitpicking about is how awesome it's going to be covering Forbidden Door after the show is over on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. No. There's one little nitpick again that I want to make. And it wasn't about the match itself. It was like during the end when it looked like they were going off the air before Swerve did his deal. They had the promo graphic up for next week's Dynamite. For Garcia versus Ospreay. You're advertising next week's Dynamite when you're going into the pay-per-view Sunday, which is something we talked about. It's like, no, guys.
Yeah, advertise the pay. You should have Will Ospreay versus Swerve on the screen.
Why isn't that the graphic?
Right. That's a phenomenal point. Yeah, that should be, because that's what you're selling in that moment on this weekend, and that's what you're going to get paid for at the pay-per-view. Yeah. That's a fantastic point, actually, because that just makes sense. It's kind of random.
I got one more thing to nitpick as well. I'm kidding.
I was looking forward to it. I wanted to hear it.
we're getting long in the tooth. But anyways, check out the Forbidden Door after show, after AEW, right here on Wrestling Inc. Me and Flova Boys are going to break it all down. But for now, we're going to do a little bit of predictions. So I want everyone in the chat, everyone in the comments, let us know your predictions. We're going to go through one that was announced via Twitter. At least that's how it was sent to me via our company Slack. Chris Statlander and I'm going to say the name wrong. Momo Watanabe versus Willow and a mystery partner. That's the first one, George or Jimmy, you go first.
I go first. I pick Chris, any team that Willow's on.
Willow. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go the same. I say Willow whoever has the mystery partner always wins.
Yeah.
So we all pick Willow's team. It's hard to have a lot of analysis when it's announced over Twitter,
right?
And you don't know one of the opponents.
The prediction should be who's going to be the mystery partner.
Well, who do you think the mystery partner is?
I have no idea. It's going to be like probably somebody from like Stardom. I'm sure they'll announce it on Collision, but I honestly have zero whatsoever. Might be like Zeuxis, whatever her name was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would make sense. I think it's probably gonna be whoever Momo is having a rivalry with, in Stardom. So, I don't know. That was announced over Twitter. So we all picked Willow. So that means I get the trios match, which was announced tonight, the Scissor Aces versus the Elite. I am going with the Elite because it feels like the Elite is building up to a lot of stuff, like something big. They've got Blood and Guts coming up, so I can't imagine them taking a loss right before going into that. I'm going to the Elite. George, Scissor Aces or the Elite?
I'm going to have to go with the Elite. I don't see them losing anytime soon. And like, yeah, they're just going to lose all their momentum, especially with Okada being there. And maybe they'll have that moment, like we mentioned earlier, with Jungle Boy winning the TBNT championship and them holding up all the titles at some point.
Jimmy, you going with Scissor Aces?
No, I can't do it. Sorry, guys, I can't do it. I have to go with the Elite. They're the ones that are on a roll right now as heels. Really, it cements them. Like you said, I like the idea of them having the titles too.
Yeah.
I don't want to backtrack, but I wish they would have just can't even speak English anymore. Yeah. Would have given Jack Perry that TNT title and just let him run with it.
And then have the first match be like his first defense be like the ladder match or something.
Right.
Right. That's where that's actually a good idea, because you could have done the whole like, okay, fine. Like that's when Christopher Daniels could have said, fine, you're the champion. Great. Well, guess what? You're going to defend that title. And now you're stuck. Like, you know, you think you got something for free, but really there's a cost.
Sure.
So we get to trios match, George, the learning tree. Assuming it happens, Chris Jericho, the Redwood, Big Bill, and the Bad Apple, Brian Keith versus Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata. Who you got?
I'm going to have to go with Team Joe, Shibata, and Hook.
That seems to make the most sense to me. Jimmy, what do you think?
I hate to disagree with you, George, but I'm going to go with the Team Tree.
team tree. you know, I think I'm gonna go Joe Shibata and Hook.
I'm out on a limb on this one.
A tree limb.
Yeah. Hey. Oh, I'll change their name to Team Tree D.
That's a finish, the Tree D.
Okay, Uncle Bully's hot at me. All right.
Next, we've got, this one's for you, Jimmy, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Orange Cassidy.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with Orange Cassidy in this one. I think, again, this is another one where Zack Sabre Jr. seems to be coming out of nowhere. He's a great talent. I have nothing against him, but mm-hmm. Orange Cassidy's over like Rover. What can you say? Just keep him off commentary.
Yeah, they do that kind of a lot, and I feel like that defeats the entire purpose of Orange Cassidy. Like, he doesn't talk. Great, let's put him in a job where he's supposed to talk. Like, it doesn't make
maybe any that's sense to me. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
But you, so are you? You're going with Orange Cassidy on this
I'm
one?
Going with Orange Cassidy in this one.
I will go. I'm going to go Zack Sabre Jr. Because
I'm going to go with him too.
I think. Chuck is going to, or Trent is going to cost him.
And hopefully get some real damn heat.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Zack Sabre Jr. as well. I feel like sometimes he gets brought in just to lose, and he lost that match against Castagnoli a couple of years ago. So I feel like this is going to be his year to come out with the W.
We have MJF versus Hechicero. Am I saying that
Hechicero.
Right? Hechicero.
Yeah, good job.
Oh, cool.
It's the accent.
It's my, I can't. I try so hard. Chauncey, by the way, asking, why does this panel change so much? This should be the panel going forward, at least for the foreseeable future. We had a few days off here and mm-hmm. there, but for the most part, this should be it.
Hey, we're allowed vacations.
Yeah. By the way, I won't be here next week.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
George, what are you doing? You're killing me, Chauncey. I don't know. You're right. You MJ, I'm going MJF. MJF's not going to lose to anyone for a while.
He's not losing in his hometown.
Yeah,
especially to a bum like Hechicero.
Is he a bum? I don't even know.
I don't know. To MJF, he is.
So I'm guessing MJF across the board.
I think so. Yeah.
Then we got the Men's Owen Hart Cup Tournament first round match, Danielson versus Takagi. George, it's your turn. Who's winning?
There's only one per. I mean, if Bryan Danielson loses, I will eat my shoe.
God, I hope Bryan Danielson loses.
And if MJF loses, I will eat my shorts.
God, I hope MJF loses. I think this is across the board. I'm guessing we're all going to say Danielson, unless you want to get spicy. Jimmy?
No. I'm not even no spice. No lacto. I need lactose free milk for this one. So Bryan Danielson for this one.
AEW TNT Championship ladder match: Takeshita, Briscoe, Perry, Martin, Rush, and TBD. This one goes to you first, Jimmy. Who do you got?
For me, looking at the lineup here, who's the TBD? I don't know. I know people are speculating it may be someone who's rebounding from a I know, bad pun. I'm sorry. Can't help myself.
One and only.
Yeah. But this is perfect setup for Jack Perry to win this thing. Like, he should have had the title in the first place, but I will stick with that. I'll go with Jack Perry.
George, or no, I guess it's my turn. Jeez, I hate this because I don't know who the TBD is, and I feel like if you're the TBD, you're probably gonna win. And my prediction is it's gonna be Ricochet, even though it might not. It could be anybody. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm gonna go Jack Perry.
Oh, that's boring.
I think there's more story in that. It's going to be Jack Perry or TBD, but
boring because we're all picking Jack Perry.
Yeah.
It makes the most sense.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that thing that adds just even more heat to the situation.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good night for the Elite in general. Winner takes all. AEW TBS Championship versus New Japan Strong Women's Championship. Mercedes Moné versus Stephanie Vaquer. George, is it your turn?
I got one thing to say. CEO, CEO, CEO.
Someone please clip out George doing the CEO dance.
CEO.
Oh, no. Jimmy had to walk off on that one. I think Mercedes also. Jimmy, you think Stephanie's winning?
No, I don't. I don't think she's winning this. Wow, prediction show where everybody's pretty much agreeing
this
across
is,
the board.
This is the lamest prediction show ever done. This is absolutely terrible. We're all agreeing on everything.
I know.
Okay, well, this is where it might get good. Who has first pick? Who went first last time?
I went first.
Okay, Jimmy, you're George doing the CEO dance is my favorite thing. AEW Women's Championship, Timeless Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa. Jimmy, who wins? This is our first spicy one, I think.
I know. I think I'm going off the board here. I'm saying Mina Shirakawa. Oh,
man, that's who I was going to pick.
Ah, stole your thunder, George. Take that.
Well,
that's what you get for dancing.
Well, I'm going to keep my chin up and I'm going to go with Timeless Toni Storm. I think that Toni Storm is just too good right now to take the title off.
I would love to see a scenario where you have Mariah May try to get revenge on Mina for breaking a bottle over her head, misses and ends up hitting Toni Storm. Then Shirakawa gets the victory. And then that kind of creates a little, you know, ruffle between Toni Storm and Mariah May. And you can keep the story going.
Is actually really good.
Mina doesn't have to be cheap. She can lose it in a week or two, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what her situation is like as far as going back and forth with US and Japan. But yeah, I'd love to see some kind of situation where, you know, you have this wrinkle that we saw tonight. Well, let's continue that wrinkle at Forbidden Door.
I actually really like that. I hope they do that. IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, John Moxley versus Naito. I go first on this one. I'm going to go Naito. I feel like I don't really foresee John Moxley as champion there much longer. What about you, George?
I just want to go with whatever Jimmy says against. I'm trying to think what he's going to say. I'm going to go with John Moxley.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Because I'm going Naito.
Naito.
I think John Moxley retains and continues his little, you know, global tour of being the champion.
Oh, okay. So getting a little bit of spice here.
Especially because he's not really doing much in AEW when you're really thinking about it. He's not in the main event scene. Like, he still can do a lot of cool things as New Japan champion.
Is it interesting you said that? Because I was literally thinking today watching him, I'm ready for him to be in a serious situation in AEW again, like in a high stakes situation instead of these kind of Blackpool Combat Club trios matches. Let's get to the end of the show here. This is the AEW World Championship. George Hermosa, you are first at bat. Swerve Strickland or Will Ospreay?
So just because I did it earlier, so I got to keep going.
CEO? Swerve
all the way. Swerve is going to retain in a great match. We're not going to see, you know, Uptown Funk this Sunday, but we're going to see a great match between the two, and Swerve is going to retain and still be the AEW World Champion.
It's always okay to play Uptown Funk, but Jimmy, does the champ retain, or are we saying Bruv World Champion?
No, we say Bruv gets screwed somehow. There may be some shenanigans and some, well, you know what, we talked about the TBD in the ladder match. Maybe some, that person that you were speculating, Jack, has something to do with the outcome of this one, where Will Ospreay was inviting someone over to AEW saying, hey, you know what, you belong here, we're the best wrestle. Well, guess what, like I said, someone shows up and says, well, you called the thunder, you're going to get the lightning. And guess what? I'm going to take you out and show you who the best is.
Careful what you ask for. I love it. That'd be great too. True. I agree. Swerve Strickland winning. I think that it was a great line in the moment, but I think that Ospreay sort of showed his hand by saying he's going to give a world title shot to Daniel Garcia next week. Cause I don't think the title's going to be, I think he threw that out there because the title's not going to be on the line. Cause he's not going to win it.
Real quick, I don't know if this changes anything just because we're still on the predictions, but I guess it's going to be Statlander and Momo against Willow Nightingale and Tom Nakano.
Oh.
Nakano. So I think we still all pick Willow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, probably. Actually, you know what? Probably. I'm going to say Statlander is going to build up for their match into Owen.
That is the least spicy, like trying to predict against.
Hold on, guys. I think I just got a message from Tony Schiavone, who just got a message from Tony Khan. I don't know.
Well, those are our picks. That's everything. Again, we're going to be breaking down the entire show after it happens here on Wrestling Inc. after Forbidden Door, Flobo and I. But for now, Jimmy, any final thoughts? And where can the world find you online?
I thought it was an interesting Dynamite. You know, obviously you can nitpick a little bit. Please stop. but yeah, the ending is what everybody remembers most, and they did a good job of setting up that main event for Sunday, and I'm looking forward to that big time. And as far as where you can find me, I'll be here next Wednesday with you, Jack, and whoever will be filling in for George next week, and Monday, of course, and hey. Whenever else, sometimes I pinch hit a little bit for other people. And you can catch me on the Reffing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. This week, the Bollywood boys join us. My boys
will be
Bollywood swinging. Yes, big time. Those, so
Bollywood swinging. Those guys, they are, I always say, if you have a show coming to town and they are on it, go out of your way to see it. They are the most fun in a live environment, especially. I never got the chance to see them live while they were in WWE, but like in indie shows where it's a little bit more intimate and stuff, it's just, they get everybody dancing. They're out in the crowd. It's awesome. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Did someone say dancing?
George, where can the world find you online and overall any final thoughts?
I thought it was a great episode of Dynamite, actually. I thought it was a step in the right direction, a great go-home show. Obviously, some of the technical aspects will get nitpicky as far as, you know, when to promote and when not to promote. But overall, I thought the storylines were hit. I thought the women's championship's got a lot of steam going on. I thought the men's world championship's got a lot of steam going on. So I'm really looking forward to the pay-per-view. I'm really looking forward to you guys covering it on Sunday. But just make sure, starting on Monday, you start letting people know that I will be covering the Money in the Bank after show next Saturday for July 6th. So
money.
By the way, I'll be attending live.
Living Color. Are you gonna try to get the briefcase?
I'll never tell.
Brock Lesnar made it clear you can just enter and grab the briefcase at any point. Anyone can really climb. He set that precedent.
What I'm gonna do, Jimmy, is I'm gonna send you that link because I want you to phone in live post show from the Toronto. Is it still called Air Canada Center?
No, they've changed that name so many times. Now it's is it Air Canada Center? I don't know. Rogers Arena. I don't know.
But is it kind of like Staples Center where it's crypto now, but everyone calls it Staples?
I don't know. It's kind of like the Sky Dome. It's always going to be the Sky Dome.
And it's always going to be the Great Western Forum for all you people living on in Los Angeles, not the Kia Forum, or I don't even know what it's called now. I think it's called the Kia Forum.
Anyways, it's called the Forum.
You can follow me right here and G Hermosa, GHERMOZ on all social media. You can follow my YouTube channel, the Wrestling Chatter, you know, for some fun stuff coming up. I feel like I want to get a little creative. So if you guys have any, I have ideas, but if anybody else got any ideas, let me know and we'll make it happen. George is on fire tonight. Dandy Cochran with the CEO.
Before we get pulled off the air because of that dance.
Keep messing up my headphones.
You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Again, you'll be able to see me on Sunday right after the Forbidden Door show right here on Wrestling Inc. But also follow Wrestling Inc. to stay up to date on all the wrestling news and make sure to check out the After SmackDown show. It's going to be a good one. For now, I'm hitting the end stream button.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.